The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up, Julien Laurent will be joining us later on to look ahead to Bayern against Lyon. We know now, don't we, that they will be facing PSG in the final after a comprehensive 3-0 victory over Leipzig. Here to reflect on it, Frank Leboeuf, Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley. Craig, the Champions League has served up quite a few surprises recently. No surprise today.
No, the only highlight for Julian Nagelsmann was it is only one game. Because had it been two games, they'd have got a right pasting. I mean, quite frankly, in the end, it was a Champions League semi-final practice game. It was so easy for Paris Saint-Germain. And on top of that, you know, they were well organised. They had to make some changes. We expected Icardi to go out. He did. Di Maria coming back in. Obviously, Paredes coming in. Herrera starting. They were a little bit more solid in there. But RB Leipzig shot themselves in the foot. And why the hell? And we've seen another manager who figures he has to tinker with his system and get away from what his team have been used to try and outfox the opposition. Not that I think it would have made a whole lot of difference, but I think it just shows how quite often these so-called top coaches are just at times overthinking it.
PSG just bossed the complete game, really, Stevie.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Leipzig gave them the initiative right off the get-go. You know, they decided to try and play the game in the middle third of the field. And when you do that, obviously you leave a little bit of space in behind. And to go in at 2-0, then clearly it got it way wrong. And it should have been 3. And I suppose for PSG, the worrying thing would be that, yet again, Neymar goes through one-on-one with the goalkeeper and puts it wide. They tried to change it, made a couple of substitutions at half-time, but really, it was done and dusted. And then the third, you talk about just an absolute ridiculous decision from McKayley, just to fall over, no touch on him whatsoever, and the game's done and dusted. So they got done tactically, and on the field, they got outplayed. So they can't have any worries, or any arguments, I should say.
From a PSG perspective, they've got to be delighted, obviously, Frank.
Yeah, they should. They've done what they had to do. They were very mature. They led the game the other way. And I think they did what we were expecting them to do. I was worried about Verratti not being lined up at the beginning of the game, but quite pleased to see Di Maria coming back because we know that the defenders will have to make a choice. And of course, when you have Di Maria, Mbappe and Neymar, you will more be cautious about the two last. But Di Maria had a wonderful game and he showed that he is a real top player. Defensively, they've been strong and they even brought something offensively with Marquinhos. They did everything they had to do. Rico was secure enough and did what he had to do as well. I mean, there is nothing to complain about in Paris Saint-Germain. Everybody was spot on. Herrera and Paredes, they did what they had to do. I think it's very disappointing to see how Leipzig showed their limits tonight and, in fact, never been able to compete against a very good Paris Saint-Germain.
But we discussed this, didn't we, in the build-up to this game, Craig. You take a look at Leipzig's team, obviously nowhere near as good as PSG, and you thought, well, maybe the team collective spirit that got them this far could help them. But once again, we saw their frailties and lacking in the final third.
Yeah, and you know, PSG, as Frank said, tried to hit the ball over the top early. And you know, I think it's clear Mbappe's not fully fit, although he's still a huge threat, you know, because when he's in the team, you're worried about him running in behind all the time. He's still lacking that little bit of sharpness. Maybe, you know, by the time the final comes around, that you know, that 90 minutes or whatever it was he got, I'll give him that little bit of sharpness, a few days rest. But But, you know, they're going to just hit the ball in behind. If it's Barcelona, if it's Bayern Munich in the final, you know, if Bayern play that high line again, I'm presuming they're going to beat Lyon. Who knows? Maybe Julian later in the show has got something different to say about it. I don't know. But they're going to ping that ball in behind, aren't they? And they're going to be a real threat. And if Bayern do drop off, if it is them, then they could get plenty of space in the middle of the park. So I think whatever happens, Dan, it's going to be a great final now. And I think, you know, RB Leipzig did their best to get where they've got to. That was a tremendous effort from them, but they were just outclassed.
Why can't Neymar score, Stevie?
You know, he's obviously not got the games behind him that he normally would, playing in a semi-final of Champions League and even a quarter-final. It can only be that. It can only be that little bit of sharpness that you have with having games behind you. Because that would be the only worry, really. Can Pembe at the back, I think, can be a little harsh or rash at times. But other than that, the only worry they have is, you know, are they going to create and score goals? Because, you know, the three goals today, at the end of the day, are down to poor defending and mistakes from Leipzig. So in open play, PSG had plenty of opportunities, certainly from 2-0 up, where Leipzig kind of went for it. And they didn't look particularly great going forward. You know, 3v3, 3v2 one time. And they really made a complete mess of it. So if you're going to look for the areas to get better, then definitely the front three, as far as creating and scoring goals is concerned, would be probably the only one.
Yeah, how do we sum up Neymar's performance today, Frank?
Well, I would say better than last time, because he hit the post twice and gave an assist to Di Maria. I think it was the second goal.
Yeah, the second.
So better, but in the middle of the park, the guy is absolutely fantastic. He's very involved. He wants to invest himself into the building of the actions and everything. But again, we want him to score goals, and he had opportunities to do so. And when he hit the post in the first chance that he had, everybody thought, okay, it's going to be the same game as than last time. Well, I think it was better. I think he was a real threat to the defenders. And it's maybe because of that Di Maria had a chance to be more free than Mbappe and him. It's a consequence of maybe the investments of Neymar. So, well, I've been harsh on him last time. Maybe I'll only say what I really saw and what I really felt. But today I have to say that he was better, more invested and more creative. Therefore, more important for the team.
I don't think it's a major problem for them. I like what he's doing at the moment, Neymar Dan. You know, it's like every great striker. You know, they'll go through a bar, and I know he's not a striker, but even the best of strikers will go through a bar and runs, and it comes to an end. This will come to an end for him. But what's more important, I think, is how invested he looks actually in the game itself. And I think that was evident against Atalanta. And it was evident again here today. And then Frank mentioned, when he drops deep, he's picking the ball up. He's beating people. He's making things happen. He's dragging two or three defenders towards him. It can then be popped off to Mbappe or Di Maria, who are equally as productive in the final third with their passing. And I think the good sign was that when he's been tackled, when he's been floored, when he's been hammered, so far he's picking himself up and he's brushing himself down. And I think, you know, that's a really good sign for them, rather than the show pony kind of stuff. And I think the goals will come for him. And the plus side is they are getting one or two from other areas. I know they were a little lucky today with the mistakes, but they are getting goals from other areas. So I don't think it's a major issue.
How good was his assist for the Di Maria goal, Stevie?
Oh, no, it was a fantastic little touch of quality that not many possess, not many try, not many even see it. So, yeah, you can't argue with that. Just a little caution is, he's played Atalanta and he's played Leipzig. Mm. You know, has he done it in the Champions League when it really matters most? I would say he hasn't done it yet. So if he's the player we think he is, then he better do it against Bayern.
How much credit should we give Thomas Tuchel for this victory, or the fact that PSG are in the Champions League final, Frank?
I think a big credit, because I've seen many French talent or journalists, you know, criticizing before the game that the fact that Icardi wasn't lined up, that he didn't play at front. And I always said, you know, since it worked against Real Madrid in the group stages, and Marquinhos was in the midfield zone among the other midfield players, worked, and he keeps that until it carries on working and winning. So I think he stepped up and trusted some players that we didn't expect them to be on the field, like Paredes. And he didn't have the he had the guts to put Icardi out, and even put Choupo-Moting to thank him 10 minutes before the end before Icardi. Mm. So I think it's a good credit from Tuchel. I mean, the team, the spirit of the team, the way they play tactically, is because they listen to the coach. And because he give them the need and the will of success. So it's also the victory of Mr. Tuchel.
Well, but let's just hold the horses here, Dan, on this, for the very point that Stevie just brought up. Now, you can only beat what's in front of you, but Atalanta and Leipzig are hardly heavyweights of European football. So there is many questions still out there. For Thomas Tuchel, if you look at the potential, I mean, look, if they get Lyon in the final somehow, they're going to be huge favourites. They've beaten Lyon twice in Ligue 1 this season, home and away. If it is Bayern, as expected, then we're really going to find out, because, you know, Hansi Flick came in there and a Bayern team that was pretty much in disarray turned the whole thing around, the whole thing, and went on a great run and got to the final by knocking out Barcelona, an incredible result. I know Barcelona have got their issues. But if PSG, Barca is Bayern Munich is the final, and they beat this Bayern side, then I think we can doff our cap at Thomas Tuchel. But that's a big if at the moment. And you know, Atalanta and Leipzig, good results. But he's hardly had to sit there with his coaching hat on to beat this Leipzig team today. They shot themselves in the foot. And as for the Atalanta game, it was sort of desperation at the end. They got tired. He made the substitutions. The big guns come on. They were able to turn that ship around. The final, potentially, that's a different kettle of fish.
I can agree with Craig, and I can hold the horses, as he says. You have to put... but I want to say something. I mean, Atletico Madrid was better on papers than Leipzig, and they've been hammered by Leipzig, and nobody said, well, you know, Leipzig is...
Well, Atletico Madrid are awful, Frank. They're horrible.
We're not delighted they got beaten.
You cannot say that.
They're horrible.
You cannot... Well, I can't agree with you, because you can't fight against history of a club. You're saying that Atalanta and Leipzig are not good enough in the Champions League because they don't have history. But in terms of quality, they definitely showed to the world that they have quality. Atalanta, 15 days ago, they drew against Juventus Turin in the Serie A. So it's also to give a credit to Paris Saint-Germain to have been serious and to be tactically spot on to beat Leipzig, where Atletico Madrid cannot do that. Now, having said that, I agree with you. We're going to see if Neymar is the Neymar we are waiting for, the real fantastic player, against, of course, a fantastic team like Bayern Munich, because they are the favourites, because nobody can beat them right now. But we want to see Paris Saint-Germain if they are capable of doing something. But you cannot take the credit off the last game that they had.
Of course, the final will be on Sunday. PSG taking on the winners of Lyon against Bayern Munich. Boys, thank you very much. Frank back with us for extra time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
A little late to the party then. Frank's still with us and we welcome in Julianne Laurent. Jules, obviously we got you on to look ahead to Lyon against Bayern Munich, but I feel it would be remiss of me not to bring up what happened with that 3-0 win for PSG. We know how much of a big fan you are and we know what supporters are like watching games. However, there must have been a moment where you thought, actually, we're going to win this.
Yes, you're right. It was a tough day. After I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning thinking, if Tuchel plays 4-2-3-1, that's not going to work. I was delighted he didn't. To be fair, I haven't eaten since lunchtime, but I'm very happy right now. And there was a feeling where the nerves and the tension sort of dropped a bit, and then I could enjoy the last few minutes of the game. It was good. I've been waiting almost 40 years for this, so, you know, I could be nervous a bit.
At 5 a.m. you're up, Jules, and you haven't eaten since lunchtime.
I was just thinking, if he plays 4-2-3-1, and they play their usual, you know, three at the back, and almost like they have that 3-1-6 with diamond formation. It's quite incredible, really, the way they play. They've been playing against Atletico, for example. I was thinking, like, this is not going to work. No, Tuchel is going to mess it up. And no. But yeah, I've struggled to eat. I was really tense. I was really stressed out. But it's all good now. I've got a few days, and then I'll be stressed out on Saturday and Sunday.
How was your language when Neymar hit the post?
I could not believe the first chance. I could not believe it. I could not curse because the two boys were there, and you know, I was like, I have to show the lead by example, show the right example, you know, the right attitude. But I was like, what? Like, come on, man, not again. But then Marquinhos not long after scored, and it was so much better and chilled. But yeah, almost lost it on that first one.
Jules, if you're nervous before playing a rubbish team like Leipzig, what are you going to be ahead of the final if it's Bayern Munich?
I know. I don't think, I really, Dan, I swear to you, I don't think I would be able to watch it. It would be that bad. And I would be like, I would be eating my fingers and my nails. And like, I can feel it already. I know it already. And even if it's Lyon, I think it's being in the final, what that occasion means for the club, where, you know, everything. So it would be really hard to take. I will have to watch it, obviously, for work. And I would hope if they win it as a pleasure for a fan, but it would be really, really hard. And I mean, if they don't win it, I don't even want to think about it.
Frank, I always find this interesting because a lot of people who go into the industry, and I actually speak for myself here a little bit, you kind of lose that love for a club or a team because you're so busy, like, looking after everybody else. And like looking at you, obviously from a player's perspective, you go and play wherever you can. Do you miss that sort of passion that Jules has got for a team in particular?
Not really. I mean, I never been a fan of any team. I've been a player. It's been my business, and I played for several clubs, but I always followed them. Yeah. But when I was young, I wanted to be an actor of the game, and not a spectator of the game. So I never got crazy. Of course, when France plays, you know, and you can imagine you being in the squad on the field, and you can feel the tension. But I never been in a position in the chair of a fan who desperately wanted his team to win. I feel the tension, but not as much as Julien just expressed. But I can understand that. I have a question for Julien. Julien, what's going to happen for us in the show if you lose 4-0 or 5-0 against Bayern Munich Sunday night?
I just don't come back on the show ever, I think, because the trolling, the you know, all the jokes that you're going to make, all of you, not just you, who maybe the closest friend I've got at ESPN, but all the others, I can't just, Stevie Nicol, oh my God, Craig, Dan would be the first one to troll me if we lose 5-0 in the final. So I'm not sure. I'll go on holidays.
Okay, let's go away from PSG TV then for a moment, shall we, and focus on that second semi-final. We're talking, of course, as if Bayern Munich have already qualified. They've got to take on a Lyon side who surprised many with that victory against Manchester City. Jules, I think it's fair to say that Bayern are a better team than City. What's the buzz around Lyon like, and how are they expecting to get on?
It's huge buzz, of course, because no one really expected them to go that far. I'm not sure they expected it themselves, really, at the club. So everything has been a bonus. And they believed, so far, they were maybe the only one to believe that they could be Cristiano and Juventus, and they did. They could be Pep and City, and they did. And now it's Bayern Munich, and I agree with you, this is a step higher even. And it's Lewandowski, and it's Alphonso Davies, and Manuel Neuer, and all of that. But they're thinking, if we have another perfect night like we had on Saturday night against City, then anything is possible. If we defend well again and we fight for each other, and similar ingredients really to what worked out against City, a bit of luck, maybe with some decision from the referee, maybe Bayern won't be at their ultimate best, maybe Bayern will take them a bit lightly and maybe take for granted that they're already in the final, maybe they will be thinking already about PSG. All those things might come into consideration, and Lyon certainly hope that there's a bit of that as well in what happens on the pitch, but they will go for it. They have absolutely no pressure. They've been relaxed. They've been happy to get there. They've been ready to enjoy the moment and to enjoy the occasion. They would have loved their fans to be there, but still, and try to do their club proud, their fans proud, and that could be holding on to a 0-0 until certain time in the game, taking them to extra time, taking them to penalties, maybe doing it, maybe doing what everybody thinks it's impossible to knock out this Bayern team that is a machine, but they're going to go there and really do their best and see what that leads them.
We expected the same though from Leipzig today, and it didn't happen. Frank, what's to stop Lyon putting in the same sort of performance as Leipzig did today against PSG?
The prime is to know in what kind of level of concentration Bayern Munich will be against Lyon. If they are a little bit less performant, there's maybe a chance for Lyon to do something. But they're going to come, and I'm pretty sure some players say, well, I'm praying that we are not punished by Bayern Munich like Manchester City, Barcelona has been. But in Lyon's perspective, it's to give everything they can, being trying to be not too high on the field, not too low, but give being 11 warriors on the field, not letting anybody, showing a superiority. You have to work very, very hard, being humble, not giving up anything, and maybe just praying for the God of football to give you a chance to score one goal and to hold it until the end.
Frank, you gave them a 20% chance against Manchester City. What is that percentage against Bayern?
My God. Zero. Really?
Really?
I will be,
what about the Warriors coming together pleased. And everything you just said last minute?
Yeah, but I guess I said even that, with that, you will need a Bayern Munich not spot on. And they are very spot on. I think it's Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said he went to the dressing room just after the game against Barcelona, and he thought that the players were, enjoying the win against Barcelona. No, they were already thinking about the semi-final.
Oh, yeah. So what else are you going to say?
I'm scared for Lyon. I wish them the best. I wish them to even lose with pride and no shame. But I'm scared that Bayern Munich can hammer everybody.
You going higher or lower than 0%, Jules?
I go a bit higher. I go 10%. And I think 10% is fair, because this is probably the percentage and the probability that things just go perfectly for Lyon, and those games don't happen often. It almost happened against City, although City, as we've been saying, were average for an hour anyway. But that perfect game can happen tomorrow night, and they could have, they can have that, they can experience that, where just they, nothing can happen to them, nothing bad can happen to them, and they go through and they qualify for the final. So 10%, I think is fair, but I've got to agree with Frank in the sense that Bayern are so good, they're looking so good, that it would need something incredible for Lyon to qualify.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Of course,
it's funny, Dan. Dan, I'm sorry if I just came back for the question that you asked about Bayern being so superior to City, and how can Lyon, could Lyon win against Bayern Munich? City, I want to say, no, when you say City, Bayern Munich is superior to City just before. I have a question for you. What would have you said if City would have beaten Lyon playing against Bayern Munich? Would you have said that Bayern is superior than City?
Yeah, definitely.
Or you would have said that Guardiola...
Of course I would have, definitely. Yeah. Bayern just beat Barcelona 8-2.
Yeah, but City, you would have said that Guardiola will find something to beat Bayern, that it's 50-50 and that's going to be a different game.
Why am I all of a sudden a Manchester City employee in all of this, right? Because they're English.
I don't know, because before they lost against Lyon, everybody was arguing that the semi-final will be Bayern against Manchester City, and it's going to be a big fight between Bayern Munich and the former coach of Bayern Munich and the magic of Guardiola. So I don't think Bayern Munich is superior to City. It's because of the context and the results that we all say that now.
I predict that City aren't going to beat Bayern in the semi-finals. Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder then, it will be Bayern Munich against Lyon, which will dominate the conversation, and then we'll know, and we will be looking ahead to Sunday's Champions League final.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Another interesting day in Catalonia. Jules, Ronald Koeman looks like he will be appointed the new coach. And I said, we've only got 2 minutes to talk about this. You said, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Bartomeu and him not resigning today. So off you go.
I just think Bartomeu has been a disgrace, really. He's the one that has been sinking this club for the last 3 years, that has made a mockery of Lionel Messi and his level by not even giving him the teams that he deserved, the players that he deserves around him to make him win the Champions League again, for example. And Messi had to wait 5 years already since the last time he won the Champions League. And for me, Bartomeu has the biggest responsibility in all of that. And now what does he do? He sent Eric Abidal to sack Quique Setién on Monday and then sacks Abidal on Tuesday. And him, it's nothing to do with him. No responsibility, no blame. Nothing, this is not me. He stays in charge when everybody wants him out. He doesn't bring forward the elections when everybody wants the election forward to get rid of him. And yet, he says he loves the club. If Bartomeu loves the club, he should go. He should resign right now because that's the best service he can give Barcelona right now. And I think for him to hang on to his position, he's just an absolute disgrace. And okay, Koeman will come. I don't know how much of a difference that will make. I don't know what will happen this summer in terms of transfer ins and outs, but for me, if Bartomeu stays, it's an absolute disgrace.
We haven't got much time left, Jules, but I thought one of the interesting things he said is that we're going to have a big clear out. What was interesting in that phrase is the fact that, well, other clubs know you're trying to get rid of players, so they're going to lower the price. It seems a ridiculous comment to make.
Yeah, is it a boot sale? What is, are you giving them for free? You want just to swap them, or is it just... But, you know, this is not easy to do. And again, the whole atmosphere around the club right now is so negative. I don't know who would come and get some of the players that you want out anyway. Mm. So I think it's an absolute mess, and we've said that already, but it's even more a mess when you've got someone like him in charge that has proved his incompetence and is still hanging on to the job. And I just think the best service he would do to Barcelona is to leave and let someone else try to sort out the mess that he created in the first place.
Jules, thank you very much. The latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, of course, will drop on Thursday. A lot for them to discuss. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Stevie and to Craig. Stay tuned, though, for Extra Time. Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent discussing how good it is to be a Frenchman right now. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Frank Leboeuf with us, as is the happiest man in London tonight. Julien Laurent with us, celebrating PSG's victory. Late though, wasn't he, Frank? Other media commitments meant that we've been hanging around for Jules. That's just the way that he...
Oh my God, you had to say that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, first question. How does it feel to be French? With one team through to the Champions League final and the prospect of a second waiting in the wings as reigning world champions, and with the knowledge, as Mbappe said so eloquently, that Ligue 1 is not a farmer's league. A good time to fly the tricolour, boys.
Well, I'm happy for Paris Saint-Germain and Lyon. I was born in Marseille. I was the captain of Olympique de Marseille. But I have to say that it's good to see a club, a French club, being in the Champions League after the supremacy of the Spanish and maybe also the English. So it's good to see maybe with a surprise another French club and have a French final, even if I doubt that Lyon is going to be able to win against Bayern Munich. But it's refreshing.
Oh, and look, the fireworks are off. This is the celebrations in Paris right now.
Celebrate good time. Come on. And I was saying it's nice, but we have to be humble. I mean, the Ligue 1 is not, of course, the best league in the world, but we have good players, we have good teams. Yeah, maybe, but we the clubs are doing the jobs, and it's good publicity for our country. So let's say that I'm proud of it.
Oh yeah, how does it feel to be French at the moment, Jules?
Yeah, no, I agree with what Frank said. You know, it's good for Ligue 1 to show their success in the Champions League, because I do think, you know, if we take out the Farmers League jokes and that kind of stuff, I think a lot of people judge Ligue 1 without even watching it. Of course, there's bad teams and there's bad games. There's bad games in the Premier League, there's bad games in La Liga as well. There's bad teams, there's bad players everywhere. It's the same for everyone. But we know, if you watch it, you know the level. It's still a league. That is a feeder league, which means that all the top clubs in England come and do their market every January, every summer, and come and spend a lot of money to buy the best players that we have in Ligue 1 every single time. So it can't be that bad of a league if your club comes every summer to my club to get my best player. So, you know, this is the way it is, but I think it gives credibility to the league for sure, even if this is not going to happen every season. We won't have two French clubs in the semi-final of the Champions League every year. This is, you know, this is a freak of a moment, but still you enjoy it, and as long as it lasts.
Good for your bank balance as well, Jules.
I'll invite you for dinner next time I'm in Bristol, Connecticut.
Thank you. Can I say hi to Andrew Orsatti?
Yeah, you know? Andrew used to present this show when it was Press Pass back in the day.
This when we had good journalists at the time.
You had a proper presenter then, Andrew. As well. Yep, exactly. In hindsight, this is an interesting point. Did Neymar actually make the best decision when he left Barcelona for PSG? What do you think? Jules?
Me or Jules?
I said Jules.
I think he made the best decision. Well, it was not his decision, but I think the best decision that was made for him really was that he didn't rejoin Barcelona last summer.
Yeah.
Leaving in 2017 like he did, I can understand why. I think he felt at that time he was 25, why he wanted to go. And again, let's remind everyone that he called PSG to say, I want to leave, can you buy me? And that's how it happens. But I think the best decision was not to go back last summer, a year ago, because I think Barca's season would still have been disastrous in many respects. I think even if had Neymar be there, maybe it would not have been as bad. But I still think the issue is far deeper at that club than just having Neymar there or not. And I think you see now with what is happening in Paris, what he's building, what he has been building at PSG, why I think the right decision was for him to stay. And now he's obviously only one game away from winning the Champions League again, 5 years after winning it with Barcelona, but in a very, very different way than the way he did that in 2015 or the way he would have done had he been with Barcelona again.
What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think it's a good decision for Neymar to be in Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain has a real future when we see a little bit of darkness for several years for Barcelona. But it would have been different for Barcelona. They would have saved money as well, you know. Even if they earn lots of money with Neymar's transfer, they would have saved money. When you see that with Dembele, Griezmann, and even you can put Coutinho, it's more than 300 million euros that they spend, where two were on the bench and the other one was playing for Bayern Munich. So it would have been a good decision for Barcelona to keep Neymar, that's for sure.
So Jules, Neymar and Mbappe were brought in solely to win the Champions League. If they do win it, would or should they both consider looking for another challenge elsewhere?
I think they would be looking to stay at the top. I think that's what they could do. Again, no one is going to buy them this summer. No one can afford them this summer. Real Madrid have zero money. They're not going to spend anything. The other top clubs can't afford to buy them. It's as simple as that. So to answer again this kind of question, they will be in Paris next season, regardless of what happens on Sunday in the Champions League final anyway. But of course, if they do the job that they were brought in for this season, then I think it makes them more likely to maybe leave before achieving it later on, if you see what I mean. But for next season, it doesn't change anything. After that, if you win it once, you want to see if you can stay at the top and winning it again, I guess. That would be the new challenge in Paris. And then after that, they can go wherever they want. But of course, if they win it this year, this is the whole project is based about this holy grail of winning the Champions League. The Qataris have been there nine years. They spend all that money, and especially on Neymar and Mbappe, for that. And if they achieve that, one, I think it will be the greatest achievement in their careers, of course, because it's much harder to win this Champions League with PSG than it was with Barcelona when Neymar did it in 2015. And for Mbappe, it'd be his first time at 21 years of age. But also, I think it gives a lot of credit to what you went there for initially, not just for the money, not just for that, but to be part of that project. And so I think it will be very special. And I think eventually they will leave feeling that they achieved what they were bought for.
Frank, Verratti or Paredes in the final? I know Verratti isn't fully fit, but you have to start him in the final.
Both.
He's class. Pardon?
Both.
Yes, this is for Frank, not you.
Verratti, because of the way that he can play, the way he creates and can bring the ball to and delivers the ball to the three at front. I'm a big fan of Verratti, even if I can stand the way he behaves sometimes when he argues with the referee like I used to do. He's a fantastic player. I'm not convinced by Paredes. Don't forget that he's been bought 50 million plus. When I don't see, today he was good, but I didn't see fantastic things coming from him. When Verratti, he was there for like 10 minutes and delivers a fantastic pass, at least one pass. So I go for Verratti for sure.
Frank, I've heard some fanboys want both.
Yeah, but because they're blind and they know nothing about football. Oh, Jules, you're here. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. How do you deploy both in this team, Jules?
How do you play both? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I think Paredes has... he's vicious. He has that quality on his first ball, and we saw tonight that sometimes one pass breaks two lines in the opposition, and I think Bayern will press really high if it's Bayern. If it's Sloan, it's a bit different because they will sit deep and wait. But if it's Bayern, they will press high, and to beat the press, I think Paredes and Verratti are perfect. Verratti, there's no one better that you want in your team to beat a press than Verratti because he's that good. And then I think Paredes, again, with the quality of his passing, would be there for that. You put Marquinhos as well there. The front three doesn't change. The back four doesn't change either. Hopefully, Keylor Navas come back in goal. But if you've got Paredes and Verratti together around Marquinhos in that midfield, and then you can always bring Herrera for the last half hour with his legs and his, you know, all his movement, and he runs around all the time and everything. That's perfect. But I think the quality of passing from Paredes could be very useful in a final against Bayern if they're in the final.
What are Jules' thoughts on Nagelsmann's fashion suit choice for today's match?
I wonder, I still wonder what was worse, if it was his suit or his team's performance in that first half. I don't know what was the worst, really.
Yep.
His suits, for people who've been to London and have taken the bus in London, the colour of the suit is the colour of the seats in the London buses.
It's
as bad as that what is. And I just, but in fairness to Nagelsmann, he's always had a really bad dress sense. Anyway, the quarterfinals was not too bad, actually. That's the best I've seen him dressed on the touchline for a very long time. But I've seen him with red cardigans.
Wow.
I've seen him with really, really bad stuff. But tonight was pretty bad, especially for such a big occasion, man. Come on. Dude, you know, put an effort in.
Jules, it's Frank.
Yeah, but Jules, yes, I loved it. I even sent you a text saying, what do you think about his suit, you know?
Yes.
And do you want the answer? Can I give the answer
no,
to the...
No,
you
don't, answer? Don't give
no?
the answer.
Okay.
No,
hey, no, okay. No, okay, here. I want, but really, really, I'm sorry, that's a German suit. So he doesn't think it's shameful. He thinks it's fashion.
Right.
So he doesn't think it's not nice. It's not what we wear in France or maybe in the States, but it's what they wear in Germany. So you have to respect that. Come on, Dan. I know.
What do you mean, come on, Dan?
Answer.
I'm not getting involved in any of that. Okay.
Because I have your answer, and if you're not nice, I will give the answer, your answer to the world.
No, that is a private conversation, and my lawyers will be taking okay. that phone away from you.
Okay.
Final point. Okay. Oh, what is this? Jules, what does it take to be as good a journalist as you? I graduated with a BA in journalism today.
Oh,
congratulations. And want to be as good a journalist
well
as you. That is from Gabriele Marcotti.
Oh, that's so sweet, Gabriele. Young Gabriele.
No, it's from Gio. Congratulations, Gio, on your degree.
Yeah. Listen, for me, the biggest advice that I can give you, and Dan can give you many as well, is to be passionate, to really believe in yourself that you could make it. It's a tough industry because there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of people who want to do our job, and we're very, very privileged to be able to do it. But believe in yourself, believe in your ability to do it, watch a lot of football, learn about the game, learn to be comfortable, whether you're writing, doing radio commentary or analysis or TV, whatever you want to do, and just believe in yourself, never give up, and be passionate. And I think that's really the most important.
What if I can add something? I remember when I was a player, I didn't like the press. I didn't like the journalists. I think
they didn't like
and
you.
I thought that because they didn't like me as well. But I think because mostly I think they were giving details where they didn't play football at my level. So I thought. And wrongly, I thought that they couldn't understand what I was saying and what I was expressing. Where after my career, I share sometimes with you guys and some others in France, and I discover, as Jules say, people very passionate about the game, having knowledge about stuff. Of course, you don't have the feeling of what I had because I was playing, but really the passion was there and is still there. And that's a real advice for Giovanni. Being passionate is really what you have to get. If you're not, because otherwise you won't do it properly. Because all the journalists that I know and I share times with them showed me that they're very, very much passionate.
Get as much experience as you can. Make the tea, make the coffee, carry Frank Leboeuf's bags around, help Julian set up his many media different portals. That's what you need to do. Get your foot in the door. And once you're there, don't be an idiot. That's it. That brings us to the end of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Keep them coming. Tomorrow's all about Bayern Munich, of course, against Lyon. Until then, goodbye.